There's no I in team, but there is one in Indeed, and that's the hiring platform that you need to build yours. When you're hiring, you need Indeed. Instead of spending hours on multiple job sites searching for candidates with the right skills, Indeed's a powerful hiring platform that can help you do it all. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it makes hiring all in one place so easy because Indeed does the hard work for you. They show you the candidates whose resumes on Indeed fit your description immediately after you post so you can hire faster. Join more than 3 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Start hiring now with a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. Offer good for a limited time. Claim your $75 credit now at Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. And support the show by saying that you heard it on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Back, everybody, to another edition of MLB DFS Quick Hits. Your Monday, July 3rd edition, and we got an 8-game slate today that is very, very intriguing. Lots of upside, lots of bats to purchase because there's really no high-priced pitching worth paying for or available. So we have that going for us. It's a 2-game early slate. Please, I don't play the 2-game early slate. You have Baltimore, Milwaukee, Wade Miley versus Brent Suter, two just bad pitchers against, and then you have Mets and Nationals, Mats versus Strasburg. Unless you feel like making a Mats lineup with one of the other pitchers and fading Strasburg, there's no reason to play this slate. It's just bad. So don't do it. Your weather on today's slate, you have Baltimore, Milwaukee in a dome. The Nationals game also, temperatures in the 90s. So the ball's going to be flying in that ballpark. Blue Jays, Yankees, slight chances of rain as the evening goes on, but we should be fine in that one. Other than that, it's going to be pretty warm and humid in St. Louis. Good hitting conditions between the Marlins and the Cardinals. Same with Pittsburgh and Philly. A little warm front going through the East Coast, it looks like. Midwest and East Coast. Boston at Texas, wind is blowing in from right field, but we're talking 90-degree weather, humid. With that wind blowing in, the ball still might be flying out of that park, so keep an eye on that. You got Coors is Coors. And as you go down the list, wind blowing out to right center field in Oakland between the White Sox and the Oakland Athletics. But other than that, no real rain to worry about today, which is just perfect. Let's get into it. We have, like I said, 8-game all-day slate. Your totals, your two early games, Mets Nationals is 8.5, and we don't have one for the other game because of the Brent Suter pitcher. For your 8-game main, Red Sox Rangers are 11. It's almost Coors, but we have Coors, so don't worry about that. Blue Jays, Yankees, 9. Orioles, Brewers, 9.5. Pirates, Phillies, 8.5. Marlins, Cardinals, 9.5. Thank you, Jeff Locke. Reds, Rockies, 12. Coors Field Special at 12. Angels, Twins, 9.5. White Sox, A's, 9. Royals, Mariners, 9. So if you're paying attention there, on the evening slate, we have one total of 8.5. Between Pittsburgh and Philly, everything else is 9 or above. Yep. Get your home runs. It's Dong Monday around baseball. All right, let's get into your pitchers. There's not much I'm going to really get at you with. I'm going to mention if you want to gamble, because the price tag is steep, but on this slate is a GPP intriguing play, to say the least. I'm talking Masahiro Tanaka. Hear me out. Swinging strike rate's through the roof right now. His stuff is there. It's just not consistent. He's only walking two batters in innings. He's striking out five. He only struck out five of his last start, but prior to that, 9, 10, and 8. His last four starts, 18.1, 33, 13.6, 25.4. Obviously, we want 20 or more points for $9,900. But the upside is there is what I'm saying. He's given up 2 earned, no earned, 5 earned, 1 earned in his last 4 starts. No home runs in his last 2, and he's been a big home run guy all year. It's scary because it's in Yankee Stadium. It's against the Toronto Blue Jays team that you know, has power. But as a whole, if you've been paying attention, the worst pitchers of worst in Baltimore went in and shut them down. Boston just went into town and had their way with them. Toronto's just not hitting the baseball. Now, that since I said all that, they probably will. They strike out almost 21% of the time versus righties. I mentioned Tanaka. He's actually pitched so well, if you've been listening long enough, he used to be one of our big guys on the Barrel FIP leaderboards. The last 30 days, he's not even in the top 25 anymore. That's how much better he's been pitching. If you go on the whole season, he's 10th now. He used to be number one. So his numbers are getting better and better. It's like I said, he's striking out almost 20. On this season, he's striking out almost 23%, just like I mentioned. His walks are down. His swinging strike rate's over 14%. His ground ball rate's over 49% now. His hard contact's down to 33%. Things are on the right direction with Tanaka. It's just, do we think he's completely back yet? That's the question. Toronto has a team total of 4.35. Lefties are hitting 299. Righties are only hitting 309. They have a very average WOBA and a slightly above average, not a big above average, ISO of 169 versus righties. It's an intriguing play. At Yankee Stadium, the ball can fly. The price tag's higher than you'd usually like with Tanaka, especially for the return. You're going to want close to 20-plus if you can have it. And, you know, he hasn't completely, you know, had those consistent numbers. He's been better at home than on the road, averaging almost 17 DraftKings points at home. And he hasn't been in the 9Ks in a long time. So this is a big price bump against a Toronto team in a good hitter's ballpark. But GPP-wise, there is upside with Tanaka, and he's definitely worth checking out on a slate like this where most will see him and go another direction and pay down to get more bats. Well, you can still pay down. We can still get a lot of good bats with Tanaka. So it's something to think about. The blow-up is there, but it's something worth analyzing with Tanaka. If you want to gamble on a smaller slate, 8 games, like, you know, half of a full slate, it's worth taking a deeper dive into and seeing how much risk you want to put into tonight's action. Speaking of which, there's some great slates on DraftKings. A $6, it's 150 max, which sucks, but 50K to the top. You still got your $4.20 max, pays out 3 or 4K, which isn't bad. There's some good stuff out there tonight on a smaller slate Monday. After Tanaka, my top option tonight, and I would imagine he's chalky, but maybe not. Maybe people are still overlooking what is the legend of Aaron Nola. Aaron Nola has been outstanding since that curveball has started snapping. His last two starts, 28.4 and 30.9, as at Seattle at home against St. Louis. 7-7 in third innings, 9Ks, 8Ks. He's had 6 or more Ks in 4 straight starts. He's been really, really good his last few times out. And overall, he's looked really, really good since coming back from the DL. He's facing a Pittsburgh team that doesn't strike out a ton, only 19% of the time versus righties. Nola is striking out a fair amount in the last 30 days. He is 15th best on the top 25 barrel FIP leaderboard, getting barreled 2.22% of the time, striking out almost 26% of the batters he is facing. Nola's been very, very good. Ground ball rate of 49.5%, low hard contact. There's a lot to like about Nola. And Pirates have the lowest total on the evening slate of 4.19. Lefties hit 317, righties 292. They have a couple lefties, you know, Josh Bell, John Jaso, Frazier. That's about all you got to really worry about. Polanco, I guess. As a whole, really solid-looking matchup. It is a hitter-friendly ballpark in Philadelphia, Citizens Bank Park. But Nola makes for a nice play tonight, at least on my projections. Adam Wainwright, $8,400. Now we get into gambling. This is how the slate's going to go tonight, boys and girls. I mentioned Tanaka. I mentioned Wainwright. He's in a similar situation. He's been really good his last two starts, 24.9, 21.4. That 24.9 was at Arizona. 6 1/3, 2 earned, 8 Ks at Arizona. And then a start prior against Pittsburgh, 7 innings, 2 hits, 5 Ks, or 2 hits, 1 earned, 5 Ks. He got destroyed at Baltimore, but then got you 14 points against Philly. Got destroyed at Cincinnati, then pitched great against the Dodgers, great at Colorado, great against the Giants, great against Chicago. He had a good run in there. He had a rough start against Miami to start early in the season. But Wayno overall has been much, much better. Facing Miami team, it strikes out 20.4% of time versus righties. Wayno's striking about 20%. Swinging strike rate is not nearly as high as we'd like, but the ground ball rate's outstanding and the hard contact rate is quite low. On a small slate, he stands out to me. You got Miami at the 4.50 team total. One of the lower ones on the slate. Lefties do hit 356, righties 324. But Marlins as a whole are pretty average against right-handed pitching. They do have, you know, the powers there. Stanton, Ozuna went deep again yesterday. I went deep twice, I believe. You got Yelich, who's not bad. Boer's really good. There's talent there. Waino's a risk. There's no doubt about it. But there's tremendous upside in this matchup at $8,400. So if you want to go down, okay, top three. I got Tanaka, Nola, Waino. I go Nola, Tanaka, Waino. But I think they all have good GPP upside. Nola's probably GPP in cash, in my opinion. But Tanaka and Waino have some GPP upside. There's lots of risk, but good upside. Now, my three guys below 7K. That's how bad it is. I'm skipping over a couple guys, and we're going all the way down to Alex Meyer at $6,900 at the Minnesota Twins. I love Meyer. We have been on Meyer since he got into the bigs, and it was shaky early. And it's still a shaky at times. He likes to walk guys. His last start out against the Dodgers, 6 innings, 1 hit, no earned, 4 Ks, but 5 walks limited him to 18 points. The walks get in the way of really good stuff. Outside of a bad start at Boston, which we expected, which actually stayed away on that start. But then Kansas City, 33.7. New York, 10.5 because of the walks again. But then 26.7 at Detroit, 15-3, 12-2, 27-3, 18-6. The guy's been pitching great. His ERA is down to 3.74. Going into Minnesota, who strikes out 22% of the time versus right-handed pitching. And Myers is the guy that strikes out 25.5% of the batters he's facing. Now, the walk rates, like I say, is over 15%, which is scary. But he's got a great swinging strike rate. Ground ball rate of 47%. Not a big hard contact guy. There's a lot to like about Meyer tonight in a pitcher-friendly ballpark in Minnesota. Minnesota does have a high team total of 489. Lefties do hit 347, but righties only 289. Minnesota's got an above-average ISO and WOBA against right-handed pitching, so they do have power. We've seen it. But really, in Kansas City over the weekend, the doubleheader, they went off, but Friday and Sunday, nothing. Sunday, they had a great matchup against against Travis Wood. Couldn't get it done. As a whole, they're not really clicking on all cylinders. Does that mean Myers no? Is it locked? No, he's $6,900. But if he can limit the walks, for crying out loud, the upside is tremendous with Meyer. Ifs are ifs. And that's the thing we do when we play daily fantasy. You got to hope it's the right night for it. But Meyer at 69, I like a ton today. Another guy we're going to look at, we've been fading him and he's been kicking our ass, is Alberto Mejia of those Minnesota Twins. His last two starts, 18.6, 19.1, that was at Boston and at Cleveland. Not going to go too deep into games. He has a potential for walk problems, but his last two starts at Boston, 5 2/3, 5 hits, no earned, 1 walk, 3 Ks for 18.6. He's not a big strikeout guy either, only 3 or 4 Ks in his last four starts. But for $6,600, there is upside the way he's been pitching of late. When you look at Mejia, the Angels strike out 20% of the time versus lefties. It's actually gone up. It keeps going up. They've been striking out a lot more. But he has to strike out almost 19% he faces. The walks, though, 12.1%. Ground ball rate around 44%. There's risk with Mejia, but I like the upside. Angels, 4.61 total. Lefties, 3.99. Righties, 3.38. There's all that. But Anaheim as a whole against left-handed pitching, below average WOBA of 2.94. Below average ISO, like a horrible ISO of 1.16. They really struggle against left-handed pitching. They have some bats to face against Mejia. There's no doubt about it. But for a slate like this, they stand alone as a team against the lefties. Just bad. And Mejia could be a sneaky play because no one likes to play him. I don't like to play him. But I've been paying attention to him enough to respect what he's been doing. And he's been formidable. If he can get you at least 5 innings. And that's an if sometimes. He gets run early sometimes. If he can get his 5 innings at $6,600, he's got 15-plus point upside, which is huge, really huge. And the last guy I want to mention, and this is really dicey, but Andrew Moore of the Seattle Mariners, I want to mention him because he's only $5,500. He's made one spot start before. He's coming in again. He pitched 7 innings, 6 hits, 3 earned, 4 Ks for 18.2 points. Against the Detroit Tigers on June 26th. He's at home against the Seattle Mariners, against the Kansas City Royals. A little more on Andrew Moore for you. Excuse me. His minor league numbers this year, he's been in AA, AAA, and then the bigs. In minor leagues, he had an 8.57, 8.15 K per 9, which is not bad. Walks weren't high. Home run to home run per nine were good. Ground ball rates around 30-34%, depends on double A, triple A. Overall, not bad. Double A, he crushed it. Triple A, he had an ERA of 3.06. He's really pitching well. His XFIPs and FIPs were in line with everything. A lot to like about this kid. He is facing a Kansas City Royals offense that is swinging a pretty good set of bats. I don't mind their bats at all tonight. But as a sneaky GPP player, there's upside. They strike out almost 21% of the time versus righties. And they have a team total of... Oh, yeah, wait. 4.32. It's actually the third lowest on the slate is the Kansas City Royals. So there's something to think about with Moore at 5,500. Could be a really sneaky thing to help you get in some more bets. That's why I said you can pay for a Tanaka or a Nola or a Waino and get one of these low guys. You're still going to get all the bats in the world. It's really not that difficult. So Moore at 55 is interesting. So it goes Myers number one for me. Then Mejia and Moore, 2A, 2B. I could go either way with those two, just depending on how much money you want to spend. A couple names you'll hear floating around. I'm just going to mention them if you want to get crazy. You got Jeff Locke's $4,900. People are talking about him. If you want him, go for it. I will not touch him ever. I'm sorry. Luis Castillo's been really, really good, but he's in Coors for his first Coors start, so I'm going to sit and watch. You got Carlos Rodon, his second start back. He struggled in his rehab in the minors. He was okay in his first start, but the walks really got to him. He's facing an Oakland team that can hit lefties pretty darn well. When it comes to the A's, or no, actually, they have a very low WOBA, but a decent ISO against lefties. And Rodon has been good against lefties, but bad against righties. So Rodon, if he's not walking, guys, there is K upside because the A's strike out a ton. So if you want to gamble on Rodon, he's another option, but I need to watch some more of him, but definitely an option in Oakland. And then Jeff Hoffman in Coors, he's $7,800. I don't mind him in Coors. He's actually been pretty good. That Reds offense is just really, really good at times. So I'm going to stay away, but if you want to be real GPP crazy, you can go Hoffman. So my main guys, again, I go Nola, Tanaka, Waino in that order up top. And down below, I got Meyer, Mejia, Moore in that order down below. So six pitchers we're targeting tonight, and we go from there. Let's get to the bats. As always, catchers led off by Gary Sanchez at $4,700 versus Marcus Stroman. There's always GPP upside, but it's a tough one there. Salvi Perez versus Moore at 4K is not bad. I'll kick things off with Jeff Locke. I do want to mention, when you go all the way to his page, he's lefties hitting 336, righties 357. The Cardinals do struggle against lefties as a whole, but there's upside. You got like Yadi Molina at 39 is not bad. I like Robinson Chirinos a lot at $3,700. The power is just crazy. Against guy Porcello, and I told you the ballpark in Texas is going to be very lively. Very lively. His last 10 games, he's averaging 11 DraftKings points. We're talking 10-4-0, but then 14-16-18-26. 2-6-14. He's raking. So Chirinos, if you're paying up $3,700, Chirinos would be my high-priced guy for me. Got Realmuto at 36, hits righties really well. But Zunino at 36 with the home run upside versus Kennedy is very intriguing if you're paying up. Don't mind that at all. Ivan Nova facing Philadelphia, mentioning him. Philly, lefties hitting 342, righties 296. So if you want to look at the catcher, Andrew Knapp, I mentioned him a lot. He's pretty productive. He's actually outproducing Cameron Rupp on the year. He's a left-handed stick. He's actually a switch hitter. His last three games he's played, he doesn't play every game, but his last three games, 12, 17, and 12 DraftKings points. Definite upside with with Knapp at 3,500. You got a Coors catcher and Tom Murphy at 35, but Tony Walters is the lefty at 31. He'll probably get the start. Jason Castro at 34, he's been struggling, but he's facing Meyer if you want to go that direction. I do want to mention, I know Tanaka's been no home runs in two straight starts. We know he's got that home run to fly ball. That's just ridiculous. If you think he gets lit up today, Russell Martin at 3K has some value. Our boys Kevin Smith, 2,900 value play down there. Elias Diaz versus Nola at 29. If you need some punts. A punt that I like, though, at $2,700 against the lefty. There's tremendous upside of Martin Maldonado of the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. Struggling of late, but as a whole, he's not bad, and he's got power upside, and he hits lefties really, really well. So keep an eye on that. We mentioned Mejia. He's been pitching well, but lefties and righties are both hitting him just fine. Maldonado makes a very intriguing play there. as a punt at 27. And then you also have to kind of see what lineups come out. Josh Fegley usually faces a lefty. He's been pretty cold at the plate, but he's only $2,400. So as a catcher punt, it's not horrible against Rodon. So let's see what the lineups bring out. Might have some catcher's value for you there. Going to first base, you got Joey Votto, $5,800 in Coors versus Hoffman. Like I said, I like Hoffman, but Votto's been on fire. It's Coors. He's averaging 11.3 points his last 10 games. If you look at his game logs, 10, 10, 19, 30. That's his last four games on DraftKings scoring. And now he goes to Coors at $5,800. The power upside of Justin Smoke versus Tanaka at 49 is very solid. Mark Reynolds and Coors at 49. Yeah, Ryan Healy left with back spasms on Sunday, so see if he's in the lineup. He might take a day off. First base, third base eligible, tons of power, hits righties and lefties with authority. He'd be in a great spot today against Rodon at 4,600, but you got to make sure he's in the lineup. You got Ian Desmond at 45 versus Castillo and Coors. Justin Bour versus Waino at 43 with the power upside there. When you talk Waino, lefties hit 356, righties 324. So Justin Bour makes for a very nice play if you're not going up top and you're not using Waino. One guy I am targeting a lot, he's always low-owned. His team's always low-owned. If you're not using more for Seattle, who I do like. Eric Hosmer has been on fire. He's $4,300. Last 10 games, he's averaging 9.4 points. Over the weekend, 14, 16, 6, 18. That was in the four games against Minnesota. Very good weekend series. And then even 3, then 7, 8, 8, 14 in his last 10 games. Swinging a good stick at $4,300. Another guy as well, Matt Carpenter against Jeff Locke at 42. I know it's lefty-lefty, but Carpenter is lefty's extremely well. Leading off, he'll be extremely low-owned. He's in a little bit of a slump, but he'll be very, very low-owned. Hanley Ramirez, he was sick for a little while, a few days, came back, and he is on fire. And he's facing a lefty in Perez in that hitter-friendly Texas ballpark. $4,200. Hanley makes for a really solid play. Last 10 games, we're talking 9.9 points, but more importantly, like last four, 26, 13, 12, 18. Ever since he came back from that little cold, he's been on fire. So Hanram at 42 makes it for an outstanding play. If you get on a list some more, Mitch Moreland, it's lefty-lefty, but he's 4K. Joey Gallo, first base, third base eligible, $3,100 versus Porcello. Porcello has been struggling, giving up some loud contact, so it's an intriguing option there. CJ Cron, it's lefties really well. He's 37 versus Mejia. Mike Napoli's got some good history against Porcello at 37, but there's other guys I'd pay up a little more for. If you're going down, our boy Jose Martinez of St. Louis, tons of power versus Locke at 33 as a punt play. Or you can even go Kendrys Morales at 3,100 versus Tanaka. That's way cheap for the upside of Kendrys. I know he's been struggling a ton. That's a ton of upside with Kendrys Morales at $3,100. No problem with it there. Sam Travis versus the lefty. He's usually the first baseman versus lefties. He's 2,600 against Perez. Tons of upside there. He's averaging almost 6 points his last 10 games. He's only 2,600. So even 6 points you'd be happy with. I don't know why you'd want to punt first base today, but if you want to and pay up at other positions, that makes GPP lineups interesting. And Travis has the upside to do that at $2,600. Going to second base, you got Robinson Cano at 5,400. He's getting Coors Field pricing, but he's at home. That's because he's on fire. He's facing Ian Kennedy, who just gives up home run after home run. Last 10 games, Cano's averaging 14 DraftKings points. He is just lighting things up. Had a huge series in L.A., great series against Philadelphia. Cano is just hot, hot, hot. He's $5,400. He makes for a good pivot off of Coors, even though you're paying up. Everyone goes to Coors. Cano makes for a nice play tonight against Ian Kennedy. Scooter Jeanette and Coors at 4,700. You got Jed Lowry at 44, switch hitting versus Rodon. Paul DeJong and his power versus Locke at 42. Both interesting plays with Lowry and DeJong there. You got Petey at 4,200 versus Perez. Is not bad. Rougui Odor, he's actually heating up a bit. He's $4,200. He's averaging 7 points his last 10 games. But prior to the three-point output yesterday, it was 21, 16, and 13 in the three previous. We know the power upside's there. He's starting to steal bases as well. So at 4,200, his ownership continues to be low. Against Porcello is not a bad look. Small sample, but he's 6-for-9 lifetime, which is nice. 667 average, got a double and a triple. So small sample, but that Boston-Texas game with the hitting environment there, it's going to play. It has the potential to play like a Coors atmosphere. So when everyone flocks to Coors, looking over to Boston, Texas. Remember, I said total of 11, and Coors has a total of 12. Sometimes that's the way to go. And these Coors slates, if you want to fade Coors, you go that direction. And you get it for cheaper. DJ LeMahieu, $3,900 versus Castillo and Coors is really cheap. You got to definitely give that a look. Dozier, $3,800 versus Myers, upside. Our boy Yomer Sanchez is priced up to $3,800. Now, he went deep yesterday. Swinging a really good bat. $3,800 is steep, but he's earned it. He's playing really well if you want to go that direction. I like Whit Merrifield. He doesn't usually bring the power upside for his price tag, which is frustrating. As you go down some more, it's really bleak down low at second base. You have to see what lineups come out. Maybe a punt will come out of this, but really, I think you're going to pay up. Like Rudy Odor at 42, definitely worth the price tag to me. LeMahieu at 39 is not bad at all. Josh Harrison at 39 if you're fading Nola, he's always got upside. So there's second basemans there. Third base, you got Arenado at 54 and Coors. See, same price as Cano. But against Castillo, that's always great. Sano at 46, power upside. I like Jed Jericho quite a bit. He's 4,600 versus Locke. Sample size-wise, small sample. He's 5 for 11, which is 455 average. But of those five hits, he has two home runs against Locke. And he's been hitting it really well, almost averaging 9 points his last 10 games. He kind of didn't do much the last two games, but prior to that, 16, 10, 11, 23, 7. Nice little run there for Jed. We know the power upside is tremendous going against Jeff Locke at 4,600. I mentioned Ryan Healy earlier. Another guy I like a lot tonight, if you're not using Moore as a punt play, Mike Moustakas is great at 4,600. Tons of upside there. Power upside. Decent weekend series against Minnesota. Don't mind that at all. If you go down some more, you got Donaldson at 45, Todd Frazier at 43, Kyle Seager at 43 versus Kennedy's got some really nice look appeal to it. Suarez in Coors against Hoffman at 41. Mentioned Joey Gallo at 39 already. Beltre at 38. I mentioned that game targeting. You can get him for $3,800. He's been swinging a really good stick of late since kind of getting in his groove. He's averaging 9 points his last 10 games. Lots of upside with Beltre. And in his career against Porcello, he's 10 for 24, which is a 417 average with two doubles and a home run. So at $3,800 compared to paying 54 for, say, Arenado and Coors, tons of upside there. Tons of upside. So keep an eye on that. As you go down the list some more, you got like Martin Prado versus Wainwright, his left-handed bat with some upside there. You got Yanel Escobar. He likes hitting lefties really, really well against Mejia at 34 if you want to pivot. But like, I just pay up for Beltre if you can, which you should with the pitching today. A punt that's worth looking into, I played him yesterday. I had him in the lineup. They had him out, so I took him out. Then last minute when a scratch took place, Devin Marrero of Boston got back in the lineup, put up 21 points last night. He went 3 for 5 with 3 runs, a double, and 2 ribbies. He's been playing really well. He's been flying under the radar. 8 points on average his last 10 games. Over the weekend in Toronto, 21, 15, 18 points. He had 9 points the game before that, 8, 7. He's playing really well. His tag's up to 33. He was a mid-2000, high 2000 guy. But $3,300 for Perez. The reason why I liked him and I used him in that lineup is I always tell you guys you can get sneaky with your stacks, do wraparounds. Well, Marrero usually hits 8th or 9th with Lin, Yin, or whatever his name is, who's been okay. But then you go back to Betts up top, who had a big game. I had Betts and Marrero in the same lineup with Ian Happ. It was a nice little Sunday. But he makes for a very intriguing play at $3,300 if you want to pay down a bit with upside against Perez in that ballpark. In that game, we're talking about targeting. If the people are targeting that game, they're going to flock to Beltre, not Marrero. Just think about that. As you go down a little more, you got guys like Derek Dietrich at 3K. If you're going to look for a lefty versus Wainwright, Dietrich went deep. I believe he went deep yesterday or Saturday. Yeah, yesterday. He had 22 DraftKings points yesterday. So he had a good little ball game. He's, you know, not the biggest world beater, but there's always upside with Dietrich. Also tons of zero potentials with Dietrich. But that pretty much does it at the third base position. Some interesting plays. You can go up, or there's some. It's one of the fewer positions we've seen today with some decent options down below. Shortstop, Elvis Andrus, 5K. He's just crushing the baseball. Got Didi at 46, who I always like. Xander's day-to-day, so keep an eye on Xander Bogaerts. So you got Gene Segura at 46, upside. I like some Andrelton Simmons at 45. He's hitting everybody really well this year. Hits lefties really well. It's a high price tag, but he does have some power. He's only averaging about 8 points in his last 10 games, so it's a steep price tag. You're going to need him to produce at that price tag, but it's worth looking into. Yeah, Cozart and Coors at 43 is not bad. Story and Coors at 37 is okay. Franklin Barreto versus the lefty Rodon's at 36. Barreto hasn't really done much since that early game, so keep an eye on that. I stashed him away in my season-long leagues, but I actually sat him out this week just because I need to see the kid kind of get loose. He seems like he's pressing. He'll probably have a big week now that he's on my bench, but 3,600 is kind of a steeper tag for, you know, the lack of production, but the upside's there, so I can see why people might look at him. You got Jordy Mercer at 3,500 versus Nola. Mercer's been doing really, really, really well versus right-handed pitching this year. He took Samardzija deep yesterday. If you're fading Nola, Mercer makes for an interesting GPP play at 3,500. Freddy Galvis, a guy I've been using a ton. He's been in the low threes to high twos for a while, so he's been decent value shortstop. He's averaging 8.2 points his last 10 games. He's 3,300 bucks versus Nova, who gets hit by lefties extremely well. He's usually batting second in that Phillies lineup that has potential to explode on any given day, but also throw up duds. So Galvis at 33 is very intriguing. Also, Adam Rosales of the A's, he's 3,200 bucks. He's facing a lefty Rodon. We know how Rosales hits lefties extremely well. And he has a chance to play shortstop, but Barreto likely will. But the reason I mentioned Rosales at 32, if Healy is out, there's a good chance Rosales plays third base tonight in that A's lineup. You got Jorge Polanco of Minnesota, who I like a lot. He keeps flexing his muscle. He's 3K versus Meyer. If you want a cheaper play with Polanco, I have no problem with that at all. I mentioned Lynn from Boston. He's been playing shortstop, batting ninth a lot. He had 18 points yesterday, which is huge. He had 13 points 2 days ago. But other than that, a lot of low performance days. He's only averaging 4.5 points his last 10 games. But the upside's there. In a game in that ballpark, again, I keep mentioning, you know, the potential in that park. Lynn can make for a great GPP punt at 2,800 bucks against Perez. The downside is he's Lynn and can get a fat zero, but tremendous upside. Our boy JT Riddle's only 2,700. Nice stick against Wainwright to target there as a punt. You got Tyler Wade versus Stroman at 25. So you got a few bats down here below three at shortstop to make nice punt plays. And some other really solid bats to target at the shortstop position. Let's take it to the outfield and wrap her up. Adam Duvall and Coors at 57. I know the price tag's steep, but man, he is on fire right now. Averaging almost 12 points his last 10 games, and he goes to Coors. I know it's Hoffman. I love Hoffman. I would not be shocked if Hoffman had a great start, but good price tag on Duvall. Aaron Judge at 56, yeah. Charlie Blackman's only 55 against Castillo and Coors. Castillo's a big-time fastball guy. He's got a lot of pop on his fastball, but there's no doubt fastball's fastball. You're going in Coors. Blackman at 55 is tremendous. Mookie Betts at 54. Love him tonight. He's facing Perez, which is a plus. He's averaging almost 15 points his last 10 games. We know he had 53 points yesterday, which was amazing. His double-dong, 8 RBI day. But prior to that, I was loving him. He had one steal yesterday. He had two steals the day before. He's running. He's hitting with a little bit of power, extra base hits. He's hitting, period. He had 22, 14, 19, 10, 5, 10 prior to that. He is hitting it and hitting it well. Really good look today in Texas. Go to McCutchen at 47. I mentioned Jeanette at 47. Tommy Pham facing Locke. The Cardinals righties are extremely intriguing to me. Lefties hitting 336, righties 357 off Locke. Tommy Pham, big power against a lefty at 4,600. Piscotty hits lefties well at 46. He has a double and a homer lifetime off of our boy Locke. So something to look at there. Joey Bats leading off at 46. Brett Gardner, I like him a lot tonight at 4,600. Had a good series. He's averaging 10 points his last 10 games. Good series against Houston. Got a dud yesterday, but then 10 and 36 prior 8 points prior to that. Swinging a good stick, leading off for Stroman, and in his career, he's 8 for 27 with a double and two homers off of Marcus. So something to look at on that one. Yeah, K with a Chris Davis, home run upside at 46 versus Rodon. Billy Hamilton and Coors at 46 is not bad. Maven against the lefty Mejia at 45 is not bad either. If I play, just pay $100 more for Hamilton or K with a Chris Davis. As you go down, Randall Grichuk at 43 with that power against Locke, I like a lot. Low Kane swinging a good stick. He's facing Moore at 43. Stanton at 42 is always in play. Ben Gamel's playing really, really well. He's 4,200 bucks. The power bat of Max Kepler at 41 versus Meyer. If you're fading Meyer, there's home run potential in that stick. So you keep going down. You got Melky Cabrera had a big weekend. He's 4K versus Cotton. Carlos Gonzalez, 4K against Purcell. The home run upside is there. Swinging a pretty decent stick his last couple weeks. So sneaky GPP option there. Mitch Haniger at 4K. Scott Schebler and Coors at 4K. I know he's kind of struggled the last week or so, but tremendous power upside in that ballpark at 4K. Eddie Rosario and his power bat at 39 versus Meyer. Got Ozuna, who had a big game yesterday at 3,800. And Yelich at 38, both nice plays versus Waino. Not bad at all there. Jorge Bonifacio, Jorge Soler at 37. Prefer them versus lefties, but Bonifacio does hit righties very well. So there's contrarian plays right there if you need them. Sin Soo Choo, $3,600 leading off for the Rangers against Porcello. So if you're digging into that matchup, plus Chu is 13 for 43 lifetime with a 302 average versus Porcello. Makes for an interesting play at only $3,600 in that ballgame. Like, these prices should be Coors prices, and they're not. You got Nomar Mazara in his power upside at $3,600 versus Porcello. It's boom or bust with Nomar, but it can be a big boom. You never know at $3,600. So keep going down. You got Steve Pierce, $3,500 versus Tanaka. I usually recommend him versus lefties, but I wanted to bring up the fact that he's 5 for 12 lifetime. It's a small sample, just a 417 average with two home runs in those five hits versus Tanaka. Chris Young for Boston, he hits lefties extremely well. He's $3,500 in that matchup. We keep going back to that matchup. Robbie Grossman, 34 versus Myers. That's a nice cheap option in your outfield. As you go down some more, I mentioned Jose Martinez earlier at 33 versus Locke. Cole Calhoun's 33 versus Mejia. Lefties do it Mejia very well if you want to go that way, but there's other options. Adam Engel of the White Sox, 3,300 versus Cotton. Engel's been swinging it really well. Rajay Davis, he's 32 versus Rodon. Davis hits lefties very, very well. Small sample, but he's 6 for 16 for a 375 average and two doubles versus Rodon. So something to think about there. Usually leads off versus lefties. Rajay Davis. Mentioned Gregory Polanco, 32 versus Nola. Value upside if you're fading Nola. As you get down below 3K, it gets bleak, obviously. Most of our good guys are gone. We got Clint Frazier, he's 2,700 versus Stroman. Had the big, big game on Saturday. 21 DraftKings points. Went 0 for 3 with a walk yesterday for only 2. So he's $2,700 versus Stroman as a punt power upside. Matt Olson, it's lefty-lefty, so it's not the most ideal spot. He's 27, but Rodon probably won't go deep if the walks are there. Then he gets the White Sox bullpen, so if Olson's starting, it still makes for an intriguing play at 27. Odubel Herrera is only 27 versus Nova. Lefties hit him well. He's still hitting towards the top of that order usually. Had the day off yesterday for Daniel Nava, who had a nice outing in that one. As you go down the list some more, Ty Kelly of Philly, if he gets in the lineup, he's third base outfield eligible. Not tremendous upside, but he can run into one once. So he's only $2,300 if you want a massive punt. He's been playing a lot more. So Ty Kelly at $2,300 for an extreme punt if you need him. And then I passed him. There is Daniel Navas, 32. If he makes the lineup, he usually leads off when he makes the lineup. And like I said yesterday, he led off, played very well. Lefties hit Nova extremely well. So Nava makes for an intriguing punt option there. So there you have it. There's your bats. Your pitchers again, I'm going this order up top. Nola, Tanaka, Waino down below, Meyer, Mejia, Moore. When you're looking at stacking, obviously Rockies and Reds against righties are hitting 356, lefties 279 off Hoffman, so keep that in mind with Duvall and Suarez and those guys. That doesn't mean don't use Votto. Now you go to the game I like to target if you're not using Coors. Boston, a 5.55 total against Perez, lefties 284, righties 345. And then Texas, a 5.45 total against Porcello, 291 versus lefties, 318 versus righties. If people are targeting that game at all, which they usually go to Coors and they'll go there, they're going to target Boston over Texas. And I love those Boston bats I mentioned, but I also, there's a ton of Texas guys that are even cheaper. So keep that in mind. If you want to be really different in this matchup, Texas would be the one to target. It's like I say, in Coors, everyone targets the Rockies. So targeting the opposition makes contrarian. If the matchup dictates itself. Obviously, Charlie Blackmon is a tremendous spot in that game, so don't go, oh, I'm not using him because he's on the Rockies. Cardinals versus Jeff Locke, I like a lot. Total of 5, lefties 336, righties 357. They outfield Piscotty, Grichik, Pham, nice power. Carpenter, it's lefties well. Mentioned Martinez's value. Jericho, even Molina's cheap. DeJong at second. There's a lot of ways to mix and match. I don't know if I go full stack against Locke, but sometimes it works out well because Locke gets beat up a lot. You got Minnesota versus Meyer, lefties hitting 347 if you want to go there. Baltimore, that's a day game. Seattle versus Kennedy is intriguing. Yankees versus Stroman can be nice and contrarian because Stroman's been pitching well. He had a good start his last time out, but it's Yankees at Yankee Stadium, so there's upside there with the Yanks indeed. A's versus Rodon, I remember said righties hitting 343, so keep an eye on that one. Marlins versus Waino, lefties hitting 356, but I'm telling you, if you want to fade Coors, that Texas-Boston game is not bad at all. And then there's other stuff to like. The Cardinals can be sneaky, Yankees, and some other games I mentioned. Or on a night where there should be a ton of offense, don't do more than like a 2 to 3 man stack, or just do a bunch of guys you're going to think are going to hit home runs. Don't even think about stacking. Just go position by position, home run bats. Try to be a little contrarian if you can. Don't be super chalky, but just look at home run bats because home runs are what are going to win the night. Any night, but especially tonight. There's going to be offense tonight. Offense galore. So you can do it. I told you some value bats for homers. There's a lot of options out there. But good luck tonight. Lots to like. Check us out, thesportsdegens.com, at thesportsdegens. Bench with Bubba with episode 43 is out with Doc. You got Around the Bases episode 18 with myself and Boston Mo. Check those out. But more importantly, check this out. Rate, review, spread the word of MLB DFS Quick Hits. We make it bigger and better. But good luck tonight on your 8-game slate. I'll be back tomorrow with your 4th of July action. Let's get it. Let's cash. Hit me up on Twitter at BDNTrick with any questions you have. But good luck tonight. This was MLB DFS Quick Hits, your July 3rd edition. I'm out.
Hey, Drew Scott here.
And I'm Jonathan Scott, reminding you that life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance. They can help you get just the right protection at just the right price and help you save when you bundle home and auto. Kind of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. It'll be just right for you. We love a custom build. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.